Chalal Gimel Aleph. Eichlin Arai Mina Isa Achet is Galgel. You can eat.
That's the matzah, right?
Yeah.
You can eat. There's a chiyuv to take challah from a dough. However, you can still eat from it casually until it is thoroughly mixed. So the chiyuv challah only comes when it is thoroughly mixed together. Yeah. So even though, as we'll see, just like we had in the famous Shimel, first Peirik, two different zmanim with Maisa, when you can potentially take Maisa from, and the time when the actual Chiyuv comes. So similarly here, as we'll see, when from the time you pour in the water, the Chiyuv begins. But here we're saying that you don't, from even though you've poured in the water, until it has been thoroughly mixed, you're still allowed to eat from the dough casually. Yeah. V'sitamtem basa'irim. And when does the full chiyuv come with, so with wheat dough, it's when it's thoroughly mixed. With sa'urim, with barley dough, it does not stick together when it's kneaded in the same way as a wheat dough does. And therefore, the mixture is kneaded a bit to blend the flour and the water, and then it's packed down firmly by hand into a single mass. So the zman, when the chiyuv challah comes with sa'urim, is when it's been packed down. Gilgal abachitin v'timtum abasa'urin, ha'icham emenachayv miso. But once you have already fully mixed it or fully packed it down with a barley dough, you've got to take challah, and if you consume it without taking challah, there's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. Kivin shino senes asamayim magbas chalolo. However, actually, midrabbonon, once you've already poured in the water, even though the dough is not yet fully mixed. Kivishin in a sense, as a mind, once you've already put in the water, magbas chalala, you should already take chala. Even though the full obligation has not taken effect until the dough is kneaded into a single mass, it can be separated at an early stage, and midrabbonon, it should be, because as soon as the water is poured in to the flour, it starts forming bits of dough. And the Chachomim were concerned if you waited to separate the challah until the dough is completely finished, the dough might become tomei in the meantime, making it impossible to separate challah tahira. So therefore, they enacted you should separate challah the earliest opportunity, which is as soon as you poured in the water. Provided you don't have 5 revoim of flour in the kneading basin that are not mixed with the water. Because we said before that the shear is 5 revoim, and if you were to, and that's if you've got 5 revoim of flour, at this point there's no chiyuv challah on that, and if it were to mix with the water later, as obviously it will when you mix it all together, a new chiyuv would come along. So therefore, the ability to separate challah as soon as the water is poured in, even though it's not fully mixed, is only when you haven't got 5 revoim of challah without water in them. Nidma or isasa actually as a mishnah base, yeah, base. Nidma isasa actually gilgal. If the dough became dimua, remember dimua means that some truma has fallen into it, a mixture of chulin and truma. And here, so we're talking about a case of regular case of wheat flour, and it hasn't yet become fully mixed. But before it became fully mixed and an absolute chiyuv arrived, some Challah, presumably, which had been taken, fell into the mixture. And the Mishnah is telling you that a demuach mixture is exempt from separating challah, because the entire mixture is separated like truma, is treated like truma, it's a mixture, and it's all osa like truma, and truma is not subject to challah. So some truma fell into this mixture before the chiyuv came on this mixture, you're not going to take any at all. But if it only fell in after it's already been thoroughly mixed, then the chiyuv had already arrived. And once the chiyuv has arrived, it's not released from that chiyuv because some truma fell into it. Noled lo sofik truma akshelo gilgalo. If there arose in the dough a sofik of truma before it became thoroughly mixed, and was not certain whether this dough became tomei or not, teosa v'tumo, it can be made in tumo. Although the dough is only possibly tomei, you can handle it even though you're tomei. It can be rendered tomei. Even though normally you're not allowed to make a challah liable-sized piece of dough tomei, because you want to separate challah b'tahara. But in this case, since the dough is already possibly tomei, and sofik tomei, and therefore the challah is going to be inedible in any event, because a challah, a kohen, can't eat tomei challah, and he can't eat sofik tomei challah. So if it's sofik, it's tomei, he can't eat it. So therefore, it doesn't make any difference as to whether it's sofik tomei or it's vadai tomei, you're already allowed to separate it betumah. Umishe gilgolo teosu betaro. But if the uncertainty of tumah arose only after the challah chiyuv had come along, then teosu betaro, it's got to be treated as toha and separated betahara. Gimel. Another heter for challah, not having to take challah, is if the product is hektish. So if at the time when the chiyuv challah came along, the dough belonged to Hekdish, there would be no chiyuv challah. So the Mishnah is going to go through the various possibilities. Hikdisha isosa akshelo gilgolo. If she consecrated the dough to the Beis HaMikdash before it was thoroughly mixed, upadato, and she redeemed it also before it was thoroughly mixed, and then it becomes thoroughly mixed at the point when she owns it herself, it no longer belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, chayeves, then obviously it's obligated in challah. Mishe gilgolo patato. If she consecrated the dough after it had been thoroughly mixed, and she redeemed it, then chayeves is likewise obligated, because the chiyuv had come along before you consecrated it. Hikdishata akshelo gilgolo v'gilgolo hagizba. However, if she was makdish this dough before it was fully mixed, and the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash mixed it, v'achakach padata, and then she redeemed it, since at the point where the chiyuv came along, it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and there was no chiyuv for the Beis HaMikdash to separate challah, then when she buys it back or redeems it afterwards, it is also exempt from challah paturo. Since at the time when the chiyuv came along, it was actually exempt. Dalit. And similarly with masreis, strumas and masreis on your fruit. Hamakdish peiros of akshelo ba'ol onas masreis. If you consecrated your fruits to the Beis HaMikdash before the chiyuv masreis came along, upadon, and you redeemed them all before the chiyuv came along, chayovim, then they're ready chayiv. By the way, referring back to our famous Shimul Mishnah, there is a machlokes here. What is called the onus ha-masreis, when we say before the time of masreis, the chiyuv masreis came along, are we talking about that first shear, which we had in the first Mishnah over there, the point where the fruit becomes edible to be eaten, can be eaten, or are we talking about the gemar melacha when it's fully processed and everything that needs to be done to it has been done? But whichever it is, if it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash at that stage, it is, it might potentially be potter, but here we're talking about that you redeemed it before it came to that stage as well. So the stage came about when it was in your ownership, so chayev, chayoven. The other way around, the mishubo, lo, inus, ha-masreis, if they became, they came to that stage where they still belong to you, and then afterwards you consecrated them to the base of Mikdosh or Padaton, and you redeemed them, Chayavim, then of course also the Chayav. Hikdishan like Shalom Nigmaru, Kamoran Hagizba, but if he consecrated them whilst they, before the Chayav came along, Ugamoran Hagizba, and they became finished whilst the treasury owned them, V'achakach Padaton, and afterwards the owner redeemed them. Then once again, they're potter because at the time when the liability came along, they were exempt. Five. Ovid kochavim shenosan l'Yisrael lasis loisa. Similar kind of scenario, parallel scenarios. Obviously, a non-Jew owns a dough. There's no chiyuv to take challah, even if the Jew is actually doing the mixing. Interesting, people often ask me, you know, if you buy American or Israeli produce and they want to put a lot of Hebrew writing on the Hechsham, a little bit cynical, you forgive me. They always say, Challah has been taken, you know. So it doesn't say it on Rakuzin's mouth, says, does Challah have to be taken? So sometimes the Gasha has Challah been taken. So if Challah's not been taken, you're also to eat it. We'll be selling a product with a Hechsham, which you're not allowed to eat. It doesn't make any sense. Obviously, whatever has to be done has been done. But the truth is, there's no Chiyuv to take Challah at all because it's entirely Goyish owned. Rakuz is completely owned by Goyim, yes. Three Goyish partners making a lot of money out of the Jewish Pesach business. Okay. Over Kechavim, Shenosan Yisrael, Asis Luisa. Even if Jewish people are doing the, making the dough, Peturim Melechala, because the Pasuk says, Ariso Seichem, your doughs, not non-Jewish doughs. Nesona Lo B'matana, but if the non-Jew gave it to the Jewish person as a gift at the time when he was working on the non-Jews' dough, Anshelo Gilgal, if he hadn't mixed it yet, Chayev. Then the actual mixing, when the final Chayev comes along, it's in the Jewish ownership, he's Chayev. Misha Gilgal, if he only gave it to him as a matana, after it already fully mixed it, then he's exempt, because it belonged to the non-Jew when the Chayev came along. Ha'isa Isa imo v'kechavim, if you've got partners, he makes it together with the non-Jew. Im ein b'shal Yisrael k'sheh chala b'turim en chala. Then it depends if the amount owned by a Jew depends on the percentage of the partnership, presumably would be the percentage of the dough as well. So here, the Jewish person owns only 30% of it. If that 30% is a sheer challah, then he's chayev. If not, he's potter. Six. Ger shen nisgaya v'hoysalu isa nasi sa shiru nisgaya. A ger was megaya, as gerim do. Hoysalu isa. And he had a dough. If he made the dough before he converted Potter, then he's exempt because the Chiyuv came along when he was non-Jewish. Mishan Yizkaya Chayev. If it was after the Geirus, he finished the mixing, then he's Chayev. V'im Sofik, if it's uncertain, obviously, either he's got a very bad memory, or he put it in the freezer, and Anurim 3 weeks later takes out the freezer, can't remember whether this dough was before or after. Chayev, it's a Sofik. But he's Chayev to separate the Challah mi Sofik, because Sofik do iraisa l'chumra. It's talking about the basic mitzvah minotor, he's Chayev to do it. Ve'in chayovin oleha chaymesh, but he's not liable to the penalty of a fifth. That means, if a non-Kohen Zor eats challah, or questionable challah, or even suffix challah, he's got to replace it with the main principle, to replace the principle, plus a fifth. However, in this case, where it's a suffix, he doesn't have to repay a fifth. Rabbi Kiva hakol huleich ach hakrimo. Bakiva says that it's not dependent on when the mixture is made, when you finish the mixture. It depends on whether when the crust is formed. Rabbi Kiva holds that in all these previous cases, the point of liability when it becomes chayev b'challah is not actually when the mixture is fully mixed, but rather when the bread is baked. And when do you call the bread baked? When it forms a crust. 7. If you made a dough of wheat and rice, so wheat is chayev b'challah and rice is not chayev b'challah. Im yesh behem tam dogon, even though, if it has the taste of grain, Chayevus b'challah is chayev b'challah. That means even though the majority of the mixture is actually rice flour, and rice flour is not chayev b'challah, and a minority is wheat flour, but if that wheat or the grain is giving taste to the mixture, then it's still obliged in challah. This is based on a fundamental principle, which is called tam ki'ikah. The flavor is like the substance. And as we always know, in many halachas, we're worried not only about the actual issa has been removed from the pot, but if there isn't 60 times against the flavor, then we assume there's taste and the flavor is still there. And that, of course, is the whole reason that you can't have kalim for milk and meat, or you can't use trefa kalim, because the taste, tam ki'ikah, the taste is considered to be like the substance. Same thing here by Hilchas Challah. If the taste of the minority of wheat is giving taste to the whole mixture, then even the rice chelik, as it were, is considered transformed into wheat. And you take the shear of the entire amount. You don't say how much is the shear of the challah, of the wheat. You say how much is the shear of the whole lot. And it's all chayev b'challah if there is a taste. And what's more, gewaldige chiddush, v'yotze bo odom yedei chevasa b'pesach. If a person makes matzahs out of rice, he's not obviously can't use them for your chiyuv to eat matzah on Pesach. But if a small amount of the dough is wheat, but it gives a taste to the whole thing, then the whole thing is considered like matzah, and your chayv and your yotzi your mitzvah is called eating matzah. The aim about time dogon in a chayev is bachala, but the other way around, if it has no taste, then you're not chayv b'chala. Ein adam yotzei chavasa b'pesach. Even if the wheat component itself was the shear, which is chayv b'chala. Chamesh ravoy. Nevertheless, since it's nullified in the majority of rice, and it doesn't give a taste to the majority, then there's no chayv b'chala. 8. Next Mishnah is a case in which you mix challah liable dough with chulin dough. In other words, dough from which challah has already been separated. So simple dough which you're allowed to eat, everything's fine. And some challah dough gets mixed up together with it. Hanotel sa'ar me'isa shalohur machalasa. If you took some sour dough, in other words, in order to leaven a larger mixture of dough, and which was already challah, which was already chulin, I should say. You've got this large mix of dough, and you've already taken challah from it. Everything's fine, hunky-dory. You want to put a piece of sourdough in it to leaven it, and you didn't realize that the sourdough is chayv b'challah, and now you've already put it in. So, what's the situation? Really, we're talking about they're both doughs, and they're both the same kind of wheat dough. Mimba mino, bottle barov, we normally say. Both two types of the same are nullified in a minority. So therefore, this should be nullified over here. But, midrabonon, mimba mino is not bottle. And therefore, there's a chiyuv challah, midrabonon. So what would you have to do? You'd have to take challah from this sourdough, this leavening dough, which is mixed in the other main dough. But how can you do it? You can't separate it out, it's all mixed together, you don't know what is what. So he says, Im yeshlo parnosa mimokum acha. If you've got a supply from elsewhere, in other words, you've got another dough, which also needs challah taken on it, then you can take a little bit more, you can put it all together, either join it together, so it actually touches, or put it together in the same basket, because of tziruf sal, it joins it together, and then you can take challah, both. You're taking challah anyway on this new dough, and you say that you want it to exempt also the bit of sourdough which has got lost in this other dough. So motzi lifi cheshbon, he separates challah proportionately, taking into account the extra dough which has to have it separated. It has to be separated. In love, but if he doesn't have another section elsewhere, another supply of dough which needs challah taken, then you've got no option, you've got to separate it from the chulin tevel mixture itself. Then you have to treat the entire amount as though it needs challah taken, even if 90% of it actually has already had challah taken, but this extra 10% has fallen in. Since you don't know which part is the 10% and where it is, midrabonon, you have to treat the entire mixture as tevel, and separate challah from the entire thing. 9. Kayotze boy, zeise mosik shenis arvim zeise nikuf. A similar kind of scenario could happen again with trumas and maaseris. If harvested olives, that's zeise mosik, harvested olives, which are normal olives, which the farmer harvests for himself, and he's got to separate trumas and maaseris. Im zeise nikuf, which got mixed up with the gleaned olives left on the tree for matnas aniyim, for the poor people to take, and they're not chayev, and they get mixed together. In vebotse and in veolos, or a similar situation with grapes, harvested grapes, which are chayev from some maestros, with olalos grapes, which are the undeveloped clusters, which are left for the poor, which are not chayev, but from some maestros. In yeshu parnosim akum acher, motil fi cheshman. Once again, if he's got a supply of grapes from elsewhere, which need to have Trumas Maestros taken, he can take Trumas Maestros from the new supply, and bear in mind that he should be Yotze also anything, the amount which needs to be, the Fi Cheshban proportionately, which needs to have it taken from the mixture. Vimlav, Motzi Truma Trumas Maestros Lakoil, but if not, then he has to, similarly like with Chala, treat the entire amount as though it needs Trumas Maestros, Trumas Maestros taken, but there's a distinction. Motzi truma or trumas maisa lako, truma and trumas maisa, which can only be eaten by the kohen, he has to separate as though he's on the whole lot, on the whole 100%. He's got to separate his whatever it is, 2% of truma and another 1% of trumas maisa. Vasha, but the rest of it maisa or maisa sheni levi cheshbon. When it comes to the other tithes, the maisa rishon which goes to the levi, the maisa sheni, which you're eating Yerushalayim, or Maisa Oni, which you give to the poor, you're only required to take Lefi Cheshbon according to the amount which fell in. The distinction being, because the Truma and the Truma's Maisa may not be eaten by a non-Kohen. And therefore, you've got to take Truma Maisa on the entire amount and give it to the Kohen. But the Maisa Rishon, Maisa Oni, one's Chayev, two, they've got a monetary claim on the amount. But the monetary claim doesn't have to be given from the actual piece of maisa. You can transfer the right of the levy to this amount from the actual part, which was maisa, to another part. And finally, 10. Hanutil sa'or mi'isas chitin venusim sech isas oires. If he took sour dough from a wheat dough, and again, as in the previous mishnah, we're talking about a wheat dough which was tevel, in other words, needed to have challah taken. But last time he put it into a regular dough, wheat dough, which had already had challah taken. This time he puts it into a rice dough, which never doesn't have a chiyuv at all. Im yesh b'tam dogon chayves b'challah. If it imparts taste to the wheat dough, then you've got to take challah. Vim lav p'turo. But if not, then you don't need to take challah at all. Aye, there's a small amount of wheat dough in there which is chayev. It's nullified by the rice dough. Im kein, if so says the Mishnah, the Kasha, we should all be asking if we're really concentrating. Lama omruch atevel oitzakolshu. Why did you say previously that tevel is forbidden even if it doesn't impart its taste to the mixture? Previously, you said we've got a whole problem. A small amount fell in, and we should take from some maestros, or we'll take challah from another dough, or you've got to take it proportionally, etc., etc. And now you're saying, as long as it doesn't give a taste, it's okay. Answers the Mishnah, mimba minoy. Ah, because previously we were talking about one wheat dough and another wheat dough. When it is min hatorah bottle, but not bottle mid rabbonon, and the rabbonon required you to take it again. But fishelo b'mino b'nosen tam. But if it's unlike substances, then it depends if it gives taste or not. If it gives taste, that's like shishim, 1 in 60, then you'd have to, then it's considered still to be present, you know, from a maestros. But if it doesn't give any taste, then it's bottle and there's no chiyuv.